You're watching Tip TV Finance with me, Jenny Hammonds and Zach Mayer. And with us in the studio is Mike Van Dulken from Ascendo Markets. Mike, it's good to have you with us today. So we're starting with Antofagasta. What's happening there?
Yeah, well, this chart is actually one of the things we've been looking
Let's get that up on the screen.
Yep. This week for a potential trade idea, which we'd been keeping an eye on. So you can see that there is an uptrend, which goes back to the middle of December. But then we've moved into this kind of sideways channel for the last 6 weeks or so. But then from the technical standpoint is where it bolstered the case for the bounce. So you've had the MACD kick back up positive, the stochastics recovered from oversold, followed by the RSI, and momentum having bottomed out, and we're almost back to positive. So it's heading in the right direction. It should be able to see a test of 900, perhaps a little bit more if that channel is going to keep going. But just above that, it could well be where the channel sends it back south again. Obviously very copper exposed. Copper's come off the boil a little bit, had been propped up by Chilean mining strikes, which could actually be replicated elsewhere in the world. So it's kind of come off the boil. However, iron ore is still, I think it's pushing two-year highs. It's doubled in the last 12 months. That's really helping keep the commodity space from, I think, giving up too much. But of course, we've also got the added hindrance of a stronger dollar today. So it might have a day off from that bounce, but I think overall over the next week or so, that's still a good idea.
Super. Okay, let's move on to the banks, and you're going on to Lloyds.
Yes, yeah, so obviously we had HSBC results overnight, made for a bit of a poor start to reporting season for the banks in the UK. Then again, it can be viewed in isolation. I think the shares are down about 6%, perhaps more. Lloyds was back to flat, actually, by the time I left to come here. So that showed that they weren't all quite being tarred with the same brush. I think Standard Chartered has been pulled back on account of its fellow Asian exposure. Barclays, very international investment banking. RBS a bit less so, and then Lloyds was back to flat thanks to its kind of UK isolation, a bit more of a simpler business. So I think that rising channel there has potential for, it's been knocking on 68 for quite a few days now, unable to break. But I think if the results are positive, and I think the expectations are for good news, you could see that allow for a revisit of the 70 mark, where we haven't seen since, it is trading post-Brexit highs. It could be able to improve on that maybe and fill that gap.
Yeah. Is the main story with the banks, though, really not really to do with their company-specific situations, but really the Trump deregulation and also then the hope of higher interest rates, and that's really bolstered their fortunes. Otherwise, it's a slow structural death that we've had over the last 10 years as, you know, people's habits change and, you know, everything, the online and the high street dying and everything else.
I mean, I think those drivers have helped buoyed the sector and kept it in that kind of rising trend for the last month or so. But, you know, when you come back to the banks such as Lloyds, more UK-focused, you know, it is a simpler operation. It is, I mean, if anything, the UK focus could be seen as a hindrance if you're extremely negative about Brexit. But, you know, it's going in the right direction. It's a cleaner bank. It's a restructured bank. It's back to dividends. It's making all the right noises, the kind of noises you really want to hear from RBS to give the impression that the post-bailout landscape isn't looking quite as murky as it was.
Okay, we have one more slide, and over onto US crude.
Yes, this one simply for the fact that it's finally showing some appetite for getting out of a range that it's been stuck in now for the best part of 2 weeks. This is in spite of a stronger dollar overnight, which should be a hindrance. But it's interesting that we see almost week in, week out, the Baker Hughes data is, and indeed the US production and the stockpiles, is almost a negative for oil in terms of increasing production, which is good for the US. It keeps it takes it one step closer to being self-sufficient. Then at the same time, we're hearing noise of perhaps deeper cuts by OPEC, which just balances that back in and keeps investors bullish about the outlook for oil in terms of the recovery. 2017, I mean, it was still very much sideways, right around 54. I think that's dead in the middle. But if we do see a break there to test 54.50, that could see a bit more interest. You might even find some people closing out of shorts to allow a revisit of 55. I know it's not a huge move, but it will affect the oil majors and the likes of the smaller explorers and the helpers along the way.
But it is a nasty market. It does like to have its little bull traps. just takes it through a level and then comes straight back again.
Today's Tuesday, so tonight we've got API data from the US. Tomorrow we've got the EIA, the official data. So, you know, there's plenty of reasons why that could backtrack just as quick. But, you know, it's a fun one to keep an eye on, that's for sure.
Super. Mike, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Mike Van Duncan there from Ascendo Markets.